If you spend any time reading in the Gospels, the resurrection stories, one of the things that you discover is that there's not a whole lot that happens after Jesus' resurrection and before his ascension into heaven. It's really, he appears to the disciples a couple of times, and that's about it. But something that's always been fascinating to me about those stories is that more times than not, they don't recognize him when he appears to them. So, for instance, in John's Gospel, when the resurrected Christ appears to Mary Magdalene on Easter morning outside his tomb, she mistakes him for a gardener, and she accuses him of stealing Jesus' body until he says her name, Mary. And then suddenly she sees him to be the one he is. The story that we're going to read today about two disciples on their road to Emmaus is another case where a stranger joins them and spends the day with them, and still they don't recognize Christ with them. This kind of reminded me of an old joke. Some of you probably heard this before, about the three great truths in the world. The first one is that Jews don't recognize Jesus to be the Messiah. The second one is that Protestants don't recognize the Pope to be the head of the Christian church. And the third one is that Baptists don't recognize each other at the liquor store. Which I'm sure is probably true for some other denominations too, not just the Baptists. But what these post-resurrection stories remind us of is that Jesus really is that living presence with us, the sometimes, maybe even oftentimes, unseen, unrecognized presence with us in our midst. The story that we're going to read today we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. So we read chapter 24 of Luke, we finished at verse 12, we pick up at verse 13, this wonderful story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find the body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." So what do we learn about walking with Jesus from these disciples on the road to Emmaus? That's what we're going to be exploring this week and for the next 3 weeks after that. I think one of the first things that we learn is that Jesus is with us, though sometimes unrecognized and unseen, particularly when we are going through difficult times in our lives. I'm sure many of you are familiar with that old footprints in the sand. It's on coffee mugs and plates and posters, and it's everywhere. It has been for decades now. It begins by saying, "One night I had a dream that I walked along a beach and I saw scenes from my life, and at times there were two sets of footprints in the sand, but other times there was only one, especially during those times when I was really struggling." And he's distressed that this is the case, and of course it ends with the words, "When you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." It wasn't left alone. Now this has been around so long and has been kind of overused maybe and abused to the point where there's even been some humor that's kind of grown up around it. For instance, this one, which begins with the "My child, I never left you," those places where there was just one, "It was then I carried you. That long groove over there is when I dragged you for a while. And one time I hid you in that little sand hole while I got a hot dog." Probably not the most religious approach to that text, but I think it still gets at the truth of the matter, which is that Jesus is that presence with us. The risen Christ does go with us. He is our shepherd. He is the one who knows our name, just like he said Mary. He knows our name, and he calls our name, and we know him because he is our shepherd, and we know him. He is the one who carries us when we struggle and when we are alone. When I, that fact, the fact that he loves us and is with us has always made me wonder why exactly the two disciples on the road to Emmaus were prevented from recognizing Jesus. How come? Why? And when I asked that question to our dudes in a diner, the little Bible study I meet with on Wednesdays every week, I asked that question. They came up with what I thought was a really good answer. And their answer was, and I think they're right, that the disciples needed to understand how Jesus was a part of God's plan for salvation and had always been that. Remember, as they walked along, they told the stranger the story, and then the stranger began to open up, going all the way back to Moses and the prophets. He began to open to them the scriptures and explain how this was all connected, how this had all been prophesied before. And of course, it says that their hearts burned within them when that happened. And of course, just to underscore that truth, we see that they were changed. Another one that was changed, and who had a completely different understanding of how God had been at work in history was the Apostle Paul. And for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at how Paul was changed, also on the road to Damascus, was changed and began to see how God was at work in his life and in history in a way that he'd never understood. Remember that Paul was a Pharisee. He was an expert in the law. He knew the story of Scripture backwards and forwards. And so when Christ met him, the risen Christ met him, not only was his life changed, but his understanding of how God was at work in Jesus and how that connected to the past. And he began to see how God's people had persecuted and martyred the prophets before and how they had done the same thing to Jesus. It was just a continuation of what had come before. And that's why on that road to Emmaus, the stranger said, "Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And right after he says that, the day is coming to an end, and they're going to pause for the night. And the stranger looks like he's going to go on, but they invite him to stay. And he does. And it is in the breaking of bread that it is revealed to them who this guy is. And remember, just days before this, Jesus had met with the disciples in the upper room, and he had predicted his death and resurrection one more time, and then he had said, "This bread is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is my blood, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And of course, those identical words are used when they break the bread, and suddenly the disciples are like, "Oh yeah. That's right. So let's review. What do we learn on the road to Emmaus about walking with Jesus? What do we learn from the disciples? The first thing that we learn is that Jesus is our unseen companion. He is with us always. There's another thing that I've seen on plates and posters and coffee mugs. You may have seen this before. It says, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. I love that. What a difference would it make if we lived our lives as if Christ was with us always, that he overheard every conversation, that he was present with us every step that we took. The second thing I think that we learn from this story is that Jesus' story connects to the whole history of God's work in the world. His life, his death, his resurrection, everything, his birth, all of that is prophesied. And the gospel writers make a point of making those connections for us over and over again. And I think that connects to the third thing that we see here, and that is that Jesus is revealed most clearly through the celebration of the Lord's Supper, just as he was that night with those two disciples. Remember that the Lord's Supper was a Passover meal that had been transformed, another time when a sacrificial lamb had been sacrificed to redeem God's people. So again, that connects number three with number two. But I think the most important thing that we learn on the road to Emmaus is the importance of meeting Jesus in the first place. And not just getting to know about him, but getting to know him. It's about an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. It's more than just knowing about him. It has to do with knowing him. And one of my favorite stories, it's a great illustration of this, comes from the book of Acts, chapter 19. You can read this story yourself sometime. It's about, they're called the sons of Sceva. Sceva was a Jewish high priest, and there were seven of them. And they heard about, they were operating about the same time that Paul was. And they had heard all of these powerful things that Paul was doing in Jesus' name. So they thought, well, we're going to do that too. So they found a man who was possessed of demons, and they went to him, and they said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And then in probably the most comic conclusion to an exorcism that I can imagine, if there is such a thing as a comic conclusion to an exorcism, something happens, and this is actually somebody has created a comic to describe it. The demon says back to the seven brothers, "Okay, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And then the demon overcomes the seven brothers, and they leave. Luke tells us in Acts that they leave the house battered and bloody. So that's not how you want to do it either. It's important to know, not just know about Jesus, it's important to know him personally and have an authentic relationship with him. And when you do that, not only will your life be transformed, but you will join him in his work. It's automatic. When you know Jesus, you join him in his work. You care about the same things that he cares about. And somebody wrote another version of Footprints that says this better than I ever could. So I'm gonna go ahead and share this other version. And in some ways, I almost like this one better. It goes like this. "One night I had a wondrous dream. One set of footprints there was seen, the footprints of my precious Lord, but mine were not along the shore. But then some stranger prints appeared, and I asked the Lord, 'What have we here?' 'Those prints are large and round and neat, but Lord, they are too big for feet.' 'My child,' he said in somber tones, 'for miles I carried you alone. I challenged you to walk in faith, but you refused and made me wait. You disobeyed. You would not grow. The walk of faith you would not know. So I got tired. I got fed up, and there I dropped you on your butt. Because in life there comes a time when one must fight and one must climb, when one must rise and take a stand or leave their butt prints in the sand." So, I'm not sure that would be quite the same on a coffee mug, but you get the idea. You get the idea. We don't want to leave our butt prints in the sand. We want to walk with Jesus. And when we struggle, we want him to carry us too. There's no doubt about it. But it's, again, it's about meeting Jesus. It's about getting to know him. And even more than that, it's about joining him on his journey into the world. That's what we've been talking about all year long. When he comes into our life, he changes us, he transforms us, and we join him in his journey into the world, into his mission. So let this be your invitation to get to know the one who walks in love beside you. And stay tuned for the next 3 weeks as we explore Paul's life and how the resurrected Lord worked in him and how we can learn to walk more faithfully and gracefully in the risen Christ. Let us pray. Lord, you have blessed us. You have given us the gift of your Son who walks in love beside us. Help us to join him. Help us to allow him in and to join him in the work that he does. Guide us and direct us and be with us now as we continue in our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.